You are listening to Revealing Relationships, the Family and Friends of Franklin Pierce, a special issue of Historical New Hampshire, published in 2005 by the New Hampshire Historical Society.
Inheriting the Revolution, Benjamin Pierce's World, Ideals, and Legacy, by Wesley G. Balla, Director of Collections and Exhibitions at the New Hampshire Historical Society. Contemporary Americans often view their history as fixed and immutable, an endless parade of people and events marching forward across time and space. 19th-century letters, diaries, account books, and newspapers surviving in New Hampshire indicate that, in reality, lives then as now were in constant flux, built on a myriad of relationships and influences. Ties of family and business, religious beliefs and politics, together with memories of events and people great and ordinary, have helped shape identities and fortunes. Chief among the influences on Franklin Pierce's personality and values were those of his father Benjamin, one of the leaders of the revolutionary generation in New Hampshire. The Glorious Principles of Independence. On a cold Christmas day in 1824, General Benjamin Pierce hosted 21 veterans of the Revolutionary War at a dinner in his commodious tavern situated on the turnpike in the lower village of Hillsborough, New Hampshire. Inspired by the Marquis de Lafayette's visits to the United States in 1824 and 1825 in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the nation's founding, General Pierce invited his surviving comrades in the town of Hillsborough to join him in honoring the heroes, events, and ideals of the American Revolution. Although a few Hillsborough veterans were in their 80s, most were in their 60s and 70s when they gathered at the Pierce home that day. At 11 o'clock in the morning, after the group had assembled, General Pierce made a short, emotional address welcoming his guests and encouraging them to recount the feats and perils they had faced in fighting the British. 89-year-old Amy Andrews and 83-year-old John McCauley, the two oldest veterans present, were unanimously elected president and vice president of the day as a mark of respect and veneration. The meeting was called to order, and after Congregational Minister Reverend John Lawton offered a prayer of blessing, the assembled veterans related a variety of anecdotes about their revolutionary service. At 1:30, the group moved to the dining room, where they consumed a hearty dinner punctuated by a succession of 13 toasts, one for each of the original states of the Union. The first 9 toasts honored the memory of George Washington and the heroes, as well as the many hard-won battles of the Revolution. In contrast, the final 4 toasts looked to the future rather than the past, calling for the country's leaders to be patriotic and honest in the face of adversity, for national alliances never to destroy the liberty and happiness of man, and for the union of the states to be preserved in the face of strong policy or foolish sectional feelings. As customary at public gatherings, the spirited exchange continued with 12 more voluntary toasts. 4 of these praised the United States military forces and their success against the British during the recent War of 1812. The group joined in honoring the Marquis de Lafayette and the Greeks struggling for liberty in Europe. Near the end of the proceedings, the youngest veteran, 59-year-old Nathaniel Johnston, rose to toast his revolutionary comrades across the nation. Johnston proclaimed them first in dignity, first among heroes in political rights. Mindful of the importance of their democratic experiment, he concluded with the solemn injunction, "May they continue firm examples of the patriotic virtues, and our children maintain the glorious principles of independence." The festivities concluded with General Pierce addressing his old comrades once more. Wishing his guests well, Pierce then parted the mists of time with stirring memories of the war, which he described eloquently as the cause so expensive in its influence and so glorious in its termination. He went on to praise God for preserving all present, though with minds and bodies infirm, to see the happiness and prosperity that had emerged within 50 years from that struggle. General Pierce offered thanks for those present to their Creator for enabling them to see our beloved country so rapidly increase in population, and to see the progress of the arts and sciences of agriculture, of commerce, and manufactures. Sadly, it would not be long before these good and faithful soldiers would join General Washington and their war comrades in death. The meeting of the revolutionary heroes that day at Pierce's Tavern was more than an exercise in honoring the dead. In a true embodiment of patriotism, the veterans focused their listeners' attention on both the present and the future as they sought to keep the spirit of the Revolution alive and to apply its principles in a rapidly changing world. Laying down the plow. Born on December 25, 1757, Benjamin Pierce was the seventh of 10 children of Benjamin Pierce and Elizabeth Merrill of Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Young Benjamin's father, a farmer, died when Benjamin was age 6, leaving him in the care of his uncle Robert Pierce, also a Chelmsford farmer. Benjamin's father left a modest estate of land, buildings, clothes, furniture, a few farm animals, and notes valued at £153, 3 shillings, and 4 pence. The estate had approximately £700 in debts. In need of a provider, Benjamin's mother remarried. On January 3, 1769, she became the wife of another Chelmsford farmer, Oliver Bowers. On December 18, 1770, 12-year-old Benjamin chose his cousin William Pierce as his legal guardian until he reached 21. William, whose occupation was given as gentleman, was the son of Benjamin's uncle Robert. Under his relative's care, Benjamin grew up among modest farmers on the northern fringes of New England settlement. When not working in the fields and practicing farming, he attended school approximately 3 weeks each year, learning to read, write, and cipher. On April 18, 1775, while plowing a field in Chelmsford, the 17-year-old Pierce heard that British troops had fired upon Americans in nearby Lexington, killing 8 men. Displaying the decisiveness that was to become the hallmark of his later political career, Pierce, according to his own memoir, stepped between the cattle, dropped the chains from the plow, and without ceremony shouldered my uncle's fowling piece, swung the bullet pouch and powder horn, and hastened to the place where the first blood had been spilled. Once there, however, finding the enemy had retired, I pursued my way towards Boston, but was not able to overtake them till they had effected their retreat to the garrison. On June 17th, Pierce took part in the Battle of Bunker Hill, also known as Breed's Hill. He later recalled proudly that he was at Dorchester Heights when the British evacuated Boston and entered the city with the American Army. Pierce's military involvement extended from 1775 to 1784. He was involved mostly with the campaigns in New York, serving at Ticonderoga, Fort Stanwix, and Bemis Heights. He was among those quartered for the winter with the Continental Army at Valley Forge from 1777 to 1778. Later stationed at White Plains and West Point, he served in the regiment that went with General Washington to take possession of New York at the close of the war. The Revolution, which brought profound change to every corner of American society, had created a vocal and assertive citizenry. Republican emphasis on the virtues of talent and merit unleashed men's desire for social and economic advancement. Yet when Lieutenant Pierce and other soldiers returned to their rural homes following years of service in the Continental Army, they faced age-old challenges of earning a livelihood through farming. Like generations before him, Pierce turned to the frontier, where land was cheap yet provided a foundation for building a family and community. In 1785, Pierce found employment as an agent to explore the lands in present-day Stoddard, New Hampshire, then owned by the heirs of Colonel Sampson Stoddard, Esquire, a wealthy Chelmsford merchant and politician. Through royal grants and purchases, the Stoddard family had title to 80,000 acres in Ackworth, Dublin, Fitzwilliam, Goffstown, Jaffrey, Ringe, and Stoddard, which they hoped to develop or sell to land-hungry farmers pressing northward. In the spring of 1786, Pierce joined the steady stream of New England farmers moving northward from Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. While exploring the Stoddard lands in the wilds of Hillsborough County, he had discovered an undeveloped 50-acre tract on the northwest branch of the Contoocook River, and before returning to Chelmsford, he purchased it. That spring, he hauled a supply of provisions to Hillsborough, and, together with a friend with whom he had served in the Continental Army, he moved into the log hut built by the land's previous owner. The two men probably spent the rest of the year cutting and clearing away trees and brush and beginning to plant crops. Building family and community. Family was at the center of society and life in post-revolutionary New Hampshire. Often, families moved, either together or consecutively, from established northern Massachusetts towns to new communities in New Hampshire. They typically maintain strong connections with their former town, on which they pattern their settlement and its institutions. Within a year of settling in Hillsboro, Benjamin Pierce had started a family. Pierce married Elizabeth, the daughter of Isaac and Lucy Perkins Andrews. Elizabeth's father, Isaac, who had settled on a farm on Hillsboro's Bible Hill in 1765, was a town selectman, town clerk, and one of the founders of the Congregational Church. On August 13, 1788, however, Elizabeth died, 4 days after giving birth to the couple's only child, a daughter also named Elizabeth. Faced with raising an infant and keeping a household, Benjamin soon remarried. On February 1, 1790, Anna Kendrick, the youngest daughter of farmer Benjamin and Sarah Harris Carrick of Amherst, became his wife. Benjamin Kendrick had served as town moderator and leader of the Congregational Church since settling in Amherst in 1770. Marriage into the Kendrick family extended Pierce's ties to Amherst, the shire town of Hillsborough County. Links to his hometown in Massachusetts also remained strong. His younger brother Merrill followed him to New Hampshire, where he, too, settled in Hillsboro. Pierce's extended family eventually stretched from Hillsboro across northern New England. The marriage of each member of his family further broadened the network of his relatives and acquaintances. With other settlers, Pierce and his family created community organizations to serve their social, economic, and political needs, forging a civic life in Hillsboro similar to what they had known previously. A greater decentralization of cultural authority, new ideas about equality, and a new rhetoric of liberty based on the ideals of the American Revolution emerged, however, as important characteristics in the northern New England settlement. The creation of a new nation was nurturing cultural change in New England, eroding the power of the church and its leaders, for example. Generations of New Englanders had been born, spent their lives, and died in a society ruled by the Congregational Church. Democratic beliefs and revolutionary spirit, however, permeated northern New England society, which had been created largely by farmers and artisans. Fanned by evangelical fervor, plain-spoken Methodists and Baptists found a home on the fluid frontier of northern New England. Although the Congregational Church was not formally disestablished in New Hampshire until the passage of the Toleration Act by the state legislature in 1819, a gradual movement toward religious liberty had been underway since the 1790s. Unpretentious and genuine expressions of faith found support among the Pierces and other members of their rural community. In 1813, when the First Baptist Society was organized in Hillsboro, the Pierces were among its early members. Services were held in private homes, schoolhouses, and barns until the congregation grew sufficiently to erect a meeting house. In 1823, Benjamin Pierce gave land near his home to the Baptist Society for a meeting house and burying ground. He contributed to the other Christian denominations in his town as well. In building new communities, townsmen not only borrowed from their pasts, but also looked to the present and to the future. Some institutions they founded were intended to ensure that residents could participate fully in the new republic. An informed citizenry needed access to knowledge and education. In 1797, with this in mind, Benjamin Pierce joined Jonathan Barnes, James Eaton, and William Taggart in petitioning the state legislature to form a social library in Hillsboro. On December 16, 1797, the proprietors of the newly incorporated library were authorized to receive subscriptions, grants, and donations of personal estate so that they could begin to purchase books and establish a library. For more than 20 years, the library provided a broad range of reading matter not otherwise available to the farming families of Hillsboro. On the library shelves, community members found an eclectic mixture of books, tracts, and magazines published in Europe and America. The library collection was selected with the goal not only of the dissemination of knowledge, but also the cultivation of virtue, reflecting the general recognition at this time of the importance of nurturing a virtuous, patriotic, and informed citizenry. The library's offerings included Doddridge's Sermons, educating readers to Christian moral and religious values, Morse's Geography, acquainting farmers with the size and character of the developing United States, Benjamin Franklin's Works, inspiring young readers with the importance of hard work and independent thought, and the fictional Arabian Nights Entertainment, introducing townspeople to the mysteries of faraway lands. A Jeffersonian, Pierce believed that education was vital to developing a strong national economy based on farming and commerce, all key ingredients in the success of a free republic. A member of the Hillsborough County Agricultural Society, the goal of which was to promote scientific farming and increased productivity, Pierce enthusiastically participated in the organization's annual cattle show and fair. A public house and public life. In 1804, having lived in Hillsborough for nearly two decades, Benjamin Pierce moved his family into an elegant two-story wood-framed house, standing on a gentle rise of land along the 2nd New Hampshire Turnpike in what would become known as Hillsborough Lower Village. Chartered by the state in 1799, the 2nd New Hampshire Turnpike connected Claremont on the Connecticut River via the Contucoc River Valley with Amherst, where it intersected with the Middlesex Turnpike leading to Boston. People, produce, and goods moved along this and other turnpikes to markets in the seaport cities of Portsmouth and Boston while providing new communication networks for settlers. Pierce supplemented his livelihood by feeding and refreshing travelers on the turnpike as well as his neighbors, who had formed a small settlement of 20 houses in the vicinity of the tavern. Pierce's was one of a dozen public houses across Hillsborough, strategically located at crossroads. Town selectmen granted taverns licenses to sell drink. As early as 1795, Pierce had obtained such a license. Across rural America in the early 19th century, taverns like Pierce's were a vital part of community life. They became neighborhood centers for informal socializing, for the exchange of information and ideas, for community meetings, and for political activity. Taverns served as community forums, encouraging participation in local and state politics. With the decline of a hierarchical society in late 18th century America, it became necessary for candidates to appeal directly to voters, and the tavern owner proved uniquely qualified to help candidates do this. The consumption of drink often facilitated communication between elected officials and their constituents, as candidates treated tavern patrons to food and drink at election time. In addition to the village regulars, people passing through Hillsborough along the turnpike stopped for refreshment at General Pierce's Tavern. One Dartmouth College student later recalled spending a pleasant evening agreeably in conversation with the general's daughters before catching a stage to his home in Massachusetts. Some of the tavern guests were drawn as much by the innkeeper's celebrity as a revolutionary soldier and political leader as by the hospitality he offered. As Pierce became increasingly prominent in state politics, the leaders of the Democratic Party frequently came to the hostelry to consult with the old patriot on issues of the day. Even political opponents, such as the great orator Daniel Webster, stopped at the tavern to seek General Pierce's counsel and a drink. A tavern keeper's involvement in extending credit and disseminating news made him influential in local affairs. Taverns played a vital role in facilitating informal exchange of information within rural communities throughout New England. Even the most illiterate or poor could hear and discuss the news of the day at the tavern. At the same time, taverns became important in the distribution of written communications as regular mail service extended inland. On April 1, 1803, in response to a petition from town residents, the United States government created a post office at Lower Village, and on July 8, 1818, Benjamin Pierce received a federal patronage appointment as postmaster of Hillsborough. Farmers and artisans from across the town traveled to the tavern to collect or mail letters, as well as to learn the latest news and exchange ideas. Anna Pierce and her children no doubt assisted the busy tavern keeper in distributing letters and collecting postage. In the fall of 1824, the Pierce's son Franklin, who had just graduated from Bowdoin College and was studying law under local attorney John Bingham, earned a small but steady income assisting his father in his postmaster duties. All politics is local. While the tavern clearly helped his political career, Benjamin Pierce's political education probably began much earlier in his life, in the Chelmsford Meeting House, where the town's men gathered on the first Tuesday of March each year to elect officials and decide the community's business. Pierce's revolutionary experiences also had a strong impact on his commitment to public service. As witness to the struggle on battlefields against the British, and inspired ever afterwards by the ideals of freedom, Pierce saw himself as a patriot defending the hard-won liberties of farmers from the greed of aristocrats determined to subvert the Republic. Pierce arrived in Hillsborough during a turbulent time in the young lives of the state and the nation. As an ambitious man who aspired to greater things for himself, his family, and his country, Pierce became involved in the struggles of post-revolutionary politics. Fueled by disagreements over issues of religious liberty, of threats to trade by the English and French, and of the proper use of state funds, the adherents of two political factions coalesced into parties by the late 1790s, becoming known as Federalists and Jeffersonian Republicans. In the meantime, the people of Hillsborough did not hesitate to call on the talented newcomer from Chelmsford to serve in town office. Like his father-in-law before him, and like two sons later on, Pierce served many years as town moderator. Between 1792 and 1813, on the second Tuesday of March and the first Tuesday in November each year, he presided 18 times over the men gathered at the meeting house to conduct town business and elect officials. A popular community leader, Pierce was elected to the state legislature in 1789 by the towns of Henniker and Hillsborough. He continued to represent the latter in Concord for 13 years. The times were turbulent, and citizens of the young republic, plagued by debt, economic depression, and political turmoil, turned to their representatives for help. In 1791, Pierce served as a member of the State Constitutional Convention. In 1803, he was elected councillor for Hillsborough County, serving in that office for 5 years. In 1809, Governor John Langdon appointed Pierce sheriff of Hillsborough County. As sheriff, he became an officer of the court, traveling from Amherst across Hillsborough County, serving writs, securing prisoners, and maintaining order. During the first decade of the 19th century, Pierce became a strong proponent of Jeffersonian republicanism. He was representative of his rural inland constituency in his outspoken opposition to the Federalists and his promotion of war with Great Britain. Pierce held the office of sheriff until 1813, when he was removed for refusal to carry out an order of the Federalist-dominated Supreme Judicial Court. Commenting on this episode, Pierce wrote, "In 1813, I was removed by an address from both houses of the legislature to make room for Israel Kelly, whose politics were better suited to the times. It was the reign of terror. John T. Gilman was governor of the state at the time. During this period, no effort was spared by the Federalists to ruin every prominent Democrat that dared oppose them." According to Pierce, Federalist judges used elaborate means, even changing laws, in order to ruin himself and other Republicans. Pierce did not remain out of office long. In response to alleged Federalist manipulation, enraged Hillsborough County voters re-elected Pierce to a seat on the General Council in 1814 and returned him annually for the next 5 years. When the Republicans gained control of the governorship again in 1818, William Plummer reappointed Pierce sheriff of Hillsborough County. A first-hand witness to the cruelty of state laws upholding imprisonment for debt and religious intolerance, Pierce became a strong advocate of economic and religious freedom for all people. He secured his position as a leader of the Republicans in New Hampshire, remaining as sheriff until 1827. The War of 1812 and the celebrations surrounding the 50th anniversary of the founding of the United States of America fanned the flames of nationalism. In 1826, the leaders of the emerging Democratic Party of Andrew Jackson selected as their candidate for governor Benjamin Pierce, the last hero of the Revolution, who had strong support among the voters of southwestern New Hampshire's farming communities. Pierce lost the election to Dr. David L. Morrill of Goffstown, an Adams Republican, who won 17,679 out of 29,966 votes cast, with support from the Federalists. The Democrats, led by Isaac Hill, went to work, laying the groundwork for the 1827 election. The Democratic members of the state legislature nominated Pierce as their candidate for governor at the convention held in Concord on June 20, 1826. The Adams followers temporarily reunited with the Jacksonians to support Pierce in the March 1827 election. Pierce won 23,695 out of 27,411 votes cast in the election. As the first Jacksonian Democratic governor of New Hampshire, Pierce came to Concord wearing a tricorn hat, the symbol of his revolutionary heritage. As Jacksonian Democrats and Adams Republicans in the state legislature struggled for control of government, Pierce invoked the memory of the Founding Fathers in his June 1827 message to the legislature, calling for New Hampshire residents to preserve the social virtues of justice, moderation, temperance, industry, and frugality necessary to preserving liberty and good government. He urged representatives to improve public education through the uniform distribution of state funds to local public schools, to support the state militia over a large standing army, and to promote economic development. In 1828, the Jackson Democrat Pierce narrowly failed to win re-election, receiving only 18,672 compared to 21,149 votes cast for National Republican John Bell of Chester. In this election, Adams Republicans ran Bell as a prelude to the fall campaign for the presidency between Jackson and Adams. Although Pierce lost the election, rural farming communities in central and western New Hampshire remained firm supporters of the governor. He easily carried Hillsborough with 227 votes in comparison to 90 for his opponent. In the election of 1829, with Jackson now president, Democrats led by Isaac Hill and Levi Woodbury carried the state against National Republicans and Federalists. Benjamin Pierce was returned to the governorship with 22,615 to 19,583 votes for John Bell. As Governor Pierce addressed the state legislature on June 6, 1829, he took particular pride in his son Franklin, who had been elected a representative from Hillsborough as a Democrat and was sitting in the audience. In a ringing statement of Republican principles, the old general urged legislators to put aside personal ambition and cooperate to support legislation promoting commerce between the seaboard and the interior, to avoid extravagance, and to return to Republican simplicity, to support common free schools as the foundation of an informed electorate, and to secure a full and impartial administration of justice. The Citizen Soldier. Friend and political supporter Isaac Hill recalled that Benjamin Pierce was a lifelong advocate for the militia. As Hill explained, from principle, believing it to be the only sure arm of defense, he patronized and encouraged its continued organization and discipline throughout life. Founding Father George Washington created the ideal of the citizen soldier. For Americans, the ideal of military service as necessary to secure a free people and as espoused by Washington became the model of virtue in the young republic. In post-revolutionary America, periodic service in militia companies offered every white man between 21 and 49 years of age the opportunity to demonstrate his patriotism and citizenship. While still working to clear his farm in the autumn of 1786, Pierce received an appointment as brigade major of the Hillsborough County Militia from the new state's president, John Sullivan. A seasoned soldier with 9 years of military experience in the Massachusetts Militia and the Continental Army, Pierce was skilled in handling, training, and disciplining men. A natural leader, he was an ideal candidate to help build the state's military defenses. Equally important, militia service presented an opportunity for honor and advancement in a fluid society. In 1796, Pierce was appointed lieutenant colonel and commandant of the 26th Regiment of the state militia. All able-bodied men from the towns of Antrim, Bennington, Deering, Francistown, Greenfield, Hancock, Henniker, Hillsborough, Lineborough, and Windsor served in the regiment's two battalions. The fragility of the new nation was never far from the minds of the revolutionary generation. As early as 1793, America was caught in the middle of a succession of wars between France and Great Britain for dominance of Atlantic maritime trade. In 1798, the United States government, fearing war and invasion by France, attempted to raise an army of 30,000 troops. On behalf of the government, Federalist Congressman William Gordon, an old acquaintance, offered Pierce an appointment as colonel in the United States Army. Invoking the spirit of the Revolution and true to his Jeffersonian political principles, Pierce recalled in his autobiography, "I told him that, although arms was my profession, I could not consistently accept an appointment in an army raised to subvert those principles for which I had fought in the Revolution, that I was forbidden by the duty I owed to myself, my country, and my God, and although I was poor rather than enslave my countrymen, I would return to a cave and eat potatoes to the last day of my life." For Pierce, like many Americans who had fought during the American Revolution, the creation of a standing national army was associated with old-world corruption, particularly the royal oppression they had fought so hard to escape. Partisanship was beginning to characterize American politics. In the wake of the passage of the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798, making it treasonous to criticize the United States government, Republicans like Pierce feared that such an army would be used to put down dissent and eventually to destroy hard-won freedoms. On June 14, 1805, Governor Langdon appointed Pierce Brigadier General of the 4th Brigade. In 1807, after 21 years of militia service, the general retired from his active duty as commander of the Hillsborough County Regiments. Between 1807 and 1812, relations between the United States and Great Britain deteriorated as the British Navy blockaded ports and impressed American seamen. Americans settling on lands along the northern border of the United States also feared attack by Indians incited by British officials in Canada. On December 18, 1807, United States Senator Nahum Parker wrote to Pierce from Washington that, because of continuous predations on Americans by the British Navy, so long the scourge of the civilized world, the American people would be forced to defend our rights by armies or surrender them. Inheriting the Glorious Principles. Though Benjamin Pierce opposed the undeclared Federalist War with France in 1798, he endorsed the Jeffersonian Republican call to war with Great Britain in 1812. Two of Benjamin's sons, Benjamin Kendrick and John Sullivan, joined the United States Army on the advice of their father. The entire family recognized the importance of military service at that time to preserving a strong republic. Each of Benjamin and Anna Pierce's sons followed his precedent, embracing military service when necessary as an important part of their lives. Their three eldest sons, as well as several other close relatives, served in the military, but differed in their choice of whether to remain there during peacetime or to return to civilian life. Benjamin Kendrick Pierce, the eldest son, was born in Hillsborough on August 29, 1790. Named for his maternal grandfather, the sturdy settler Benjamin Kendrick, he was educated at Phillips Academy, Exeter, and entered Dartmouth College in 1807, where he pursued a classical course of study for 3 years. Benjamin K. began the study of law in the office of Hillsborough attorney David Starrett, but at the outbreak of the War of 1812, he obtained a commission as lieutenant in the 3rd Regiment of Artillery, United States Army. After the war, he remained in the Army, eventually retiring with the rank of colonel after a distinguished career defending American interests on the frontiers in Michigan and Florida. John Sullivan Pierce, Benjamin's second son, was born in Hillsborough on November 5, 1796. Named for his father's friend and political mentor, Revolutionary General John Sullivan, John S. was probably educated in local schools. Like his older brother, he received a commission as lieutenant in the United States Army in 1814. After the war, he remained in the Army stationed at Fort Mackinac and died at Detroit, Michigan on September 28, 1824. Charles Grandison Pierce, the third son, was born in Hillsborough in 1803 and named for the morally virtuous character of a popular English novel, Sir Charles Grandison, written by Samuel Richardson and published in 1753. Charles received an appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point in 1818. He later moved to Utica, New York, where he died on June 25, 1828. The future United States President Franklin Pierce, born in Hillsborough on November 23, 1804, joined a military company that was drilling on the Bowdoin College campus while he was studying there. He was elected their captain. On June 10, 1831, shortly after Franklin's election to the state legislature, he was appointed Captain General's aide in the militia. He was discharged June 6, 1834, after serving on the governor's military staff, but later served with distinction as a brigadier general in the United States Army during the Mexican War. Henry Dearborn Pierce, Benjamin's youngest son, was born in Hillsborough on September 19, 1812. Named for his father's friend and political confidant, General Henry Dearborn, he was educated in local schools and eventually took over the family farm. Henry D. began service in the state militia with an appointment as a cavalry lieutenant in the 26th Regiment on January 27, 1836. He was promoted to the rank of captain on December 8, 1838. In 1842, he was appointed aide-de-camp to Governor Henry Hubbard's staff with the rank of colonel. A popular orator, Henry D. Pierce also represented Hillsborough in the legislature in 1841 and 1842. Town voters elected him moderator 21 times between 1845 and 1868. Finally, Benjamin Pierce's eldest daughter Elizabeth was the wife of War of 1812 hero John McNeill, whom she had married on December 25, 1811. Of Scots descent, McNeill was the son of one of her father's revolutionary comrades. Both had served at the Battle of Bunker Hill. Not long afterwards, Solomon McNeill, the elder brother of John McNeill, further cemented the family connections by marrying Nancy, Benjamin Pierce's second eldest daughter. John and Solomon McNeill each served valiantly against the British on the Niagara frontier during the War of 1812. John McNeill remained in the United States Army, rising to the rank of Brigadier General before he resigned in 1830 to accept the post of Surveyor of the Port of Boston. A firm example of patriotic virtues. Benjamin Pierce's last official duty was casting a vote as an elector for Andrew Jackson in 1832. He remained a steadfast Democrat to the end of his life. Although retired from government, the aged veteran continued to work to preserve the memory and ideals of the Revolution to his dying day. In 1836, he was elected vice president of the Massachusetts chapter of the Society of Cincinnati, a hereditary association of former officers of the Continental Army. On April 1, 1839, after suffering for 2 years from paralysis caused by a stroke, General Pierce died quietly in the bedroom of his house at Hillsborough Lower Village, surrounded by members of his family, including his son Franklin, then a United States Senator. At his funeral in Hillsborough on April 3rd, hundreds of men, women, and children from across New Hampshire assembled to pay last respects to their link with the American Revolution. Neither they nor the future president would ever forget the fervor with which this patriot had struggled first to help create a nation, and then ever afterwards to uphold the ideals and principles of the Republic and its Constitution, keeping the spirit alive in the minds and lives of the next generation.
You are listening to Revealing Relationships, the Family and Friends of Franklin Pierce, a special issue of Historical New Hampshire, published in 2005 by the New Hampshire Historical Society. Historical New Hampshire, the only statewide history journal, has been a regular publication of the New Hampshire Historical Society since 1944. Revealing Relationships, the Family and Friends of Franklin Pierce, was produced by the New Hampshire Historical Society in recognition of the November 2004 bicentennial of Franklin Pierce's birth. The Historical Society's publication and accompanying exhibition were part of a statewide collaborative effort on this occasion to re-examine the life and accomplishments of Franklin Pierce, the only U.S. president to date born in New Hampshire. The audio version of Revealing Relationships was narrated by John Walters and produced by Jody Peterson at Cliff House Audio for the New Hampshire Historical Society. Music performed by Colin McCaffrey and Dee Davis. Revealing Relationships, made possible with generous support from the Valette Nafosi Foundation.